Hi, you guys. How are you doing? I hope you're holding up okay under all of the excitement with the pandemic situation. There's a lot going on, to say the least, and we're not going to be able to cover even a fraction of it today, but we're still going to talk about it because seems to be the top subject on most people's minds who have an idea what's happening. And I thought it would be nice to bring one of our doctor friends in, Dr. Rima Labo, who's been on the show many times before and is always a great guest, very much willing to say exactly what she thinks, which is kind of refreshing. And we're going to talk about a little bit to recap the origins of this problem situation that we're dealing with, because there's a lot of conflicting stories circulating around. I've heard a lot of them lately, and well, we'll get into that when Dr. Rima joins us. The other thing is the pending treatments that the government is wanting to do. I think personally that the CDC and the other organizations have been in collusion with the media and various political organizations to trap the president into saying that everything was fine. And they did that by telling him everything was fine and not testing in our country, the US. And then, as soon as he said everything was fine, repeating what they said, they'd say, "Oh my God, he said everything was fine." And we told him it wasn't. And he's such an incredible idiot and egomaniac that he said everything was fine, even though we tried our hardest not to get him to say that. And that's the trap. And he walked right into it, I think. But he's not an idiot, so he may be able to realize what's going on, hopefully. His problem, I think, is the advisors around him, and they're not going to want him to figure out what's happening. They're getting treatments ready, they're getting quarantines ready, they're getting medical martial law are ready to implement, as our guest Celeste Solem has been talking about. And a lot of people get upset about realizing this stuff happening, and I can totally understand it, but it's going to be very important to not give in to fear and panic and all that stuff, no matter what happens. And this is just my opinion. You can differ with me, of course, if you want to, but I have looked at this issue of fear and the psychology of everything that goes with it for a long, long time. And what I've come to is that fear has no use under any circumstances of anything because it clouds your vision. And it doesn't let you perceive things as they really are. And you can really see that happening now, and it's going to happen, I think, a lot more. So we have to be an example of something better than that. And part of that is understanding what's going on with it. Part of it is working with yourself, as we get into every week in Planetary Healing Club. And encourage people to join us there for whatever length of time it's still there. That's a totally non-censoring platform. It's interactive. I'm there live every week, and it's we can talk about anything you want, and it's not censored, and it's just a closed forum of mutually supportive people trying to learn not only intellectually what's going on, but work on themselves, work on the whole fear thing so that they're not subject to that anymore. Not by repressing it, because that doesn't work. It has the opposite effect, but learning how to detach from it, and that does work. And we talk about that, as well as real health information that's largely censored on the public media, as you may know. And we talk about it in our private group. Not giving medical advice or anything. We have no interest in that. You can go to your doctor for that. No diagnoses, no treatments, no anything. But information is still legal to talk about at the moment. And there's this whole issue, which that brings up with the current crisis that, when the founders created the beginnings of America and the idea of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, Federalist Papers, and all the original documents, it was all based around the idea that we need a country where the government acknowledges that it works for the people, not just as a sales pitch, but that it really does, and that the people have unalienable rights. And the government didn't give them their rights, and so the government can't take them away. And I talked to some high-level constitutional attorneys, and they said, "Yeah, you're right. The rights that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence refer to are given to everybody by God, I would say at birth, but no, I think there's an important issue about that. It's before birth. It's at conception. And, you know, not to buy property when you've just been conceived or anything, but you know what I'm talking about. So those rights can't be taken away. And if they could be taken away by just, you know, declaring an emergency and say, well, we really believe in your rights. We're your rulers. We care about you so much. And we'll be sure and give your rights right back to you when we decide there's no emergency, which will be never. That's not how it works. Your rights were there before the government existed. And if you live in a country that doesn't have a Bill of Rights or a constitution that acknowledges them, what the idea is, you still have the same rights. Your government may not acknowledge that, and they don't want you to realize it, but you do. How to implement those in different environments varies, because you don't want to just become a martyr for nothing. I mean, you need to be strategically intelligent, but part of that is getting rid of the fear thing. And we're going to deal with it in the club meeting tonight, which will start half an hour after this broadcast is over. And that's accessible through planetaryhealingclub.com if you have an interest in that. Otherwise, in a couple of minutes, we're going to invite Dr. Rima to join us. And I want to talk about countermeasures, as the title of tonight's discussion indicated. And just as a reminder to you guys, you probably already know if you're regular with this show, but if we disappear on the major platforms, just in case we ever talk about anything controversial, you can find us at brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. I'd recommend going there now and subscribing, which you can now do. It's a new platform that doesn't censor. Brighteon, brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. At least for the moment, we're up there. And it, you know, I've been told over and over again by the founder of that platform that we're not going to be censored no matter what. We'll see. Hopefully that is able to happen. Blog Talk Radio seems pretty good for that, and we're on there too. And new presence on audio platforms that we talk about, Stitcher and several others that are in the newsletter and I may mention later on. But I think a real important thing to talk about in the very brief time that we have tonight, since treatments are coming, you know, antiviral drugs are talked about a lot, the miraculous vaccine that's going to save humanity, and all of that stuff is coming, and it may be coming in a mandatory format, which is a whole other issue. And we need to talk about that with a doctor, Dr. Rima, that was very active when this whole same situation was happening with the swine flu a few years ago. But this time it's different because the disease is real. It was manufactured to be real, in fact, and it's a whole different situation. So let me see if I can find Dr. Riemann, if this technology is going to work. So be patient for a second here. And let's see if I can add her onto the show by pressing the right buttons. I'm not an expert at technology. Obviously, it's the opposite, but I think I can do this. So let's see here. Add to show. Let's see what happens.
There we are. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Nice to see you. This is our friend, Dr. Rima Lebo, and she's been on the show many times, and it's always refreshing and inspiring and educational, and we have a brief time here, but there's some important stuff going on, as you may have noticed if you open your eyes in the last few weeks. And part of what's important going on is that while this crisis unfolds, and this one is not like the Zika one or some of the others that we'll mention, there are treatments coming before vaccines are antivirals that are, of course, ready to go right now. And we want to talk about a lot of things. So whatever background you'd like to give, Dr. Rima, and then we'll get into, if we have time, some of the antivirals that are going to be really heavily promoted, maybe even mandated if they can manage that, depends on the supply. And any other things we have time to get into that you want to share?
I'd be delighted. Let me tell you, I just came racing home from an afternoon of dancing and finishing, I'll be going to an evening of dancing. It's contra dancing. It's a social dance. And as I was dancing, to live music, wonderful music. I was thinking, I wonder if the next Contra Dance, which is in 2 weeks from one week from today, will be canceled. And I thought, no, probably it'll take another week before the lockdowns start coming in. Now, there's a break halfway through a Contra Dance, and we have some snacks and chat and so on. And everybody was slathering their hands with wildly toxic hand sanitizer. Not a good idea. Damaging to your immune system. And I was saying, you know, I'm very concerned about this socially engineered and genetically engineered pandemic and panic that is being arranged for us. And I think there are important precautions to be taken. And each of the people that I talked to, and these are people that I've known for 3 years since, or 2.5 years since I moved here, each of them looked at me as if I had suddenly sprouted not only one head, but two, and I were talking Latvian to people who don't understand Latvian, a language I don't speak. And it was a universal response on the part of about 50 people.
Wow.
And I thought, well, this is a very interesting piece of quick impromptu research. No IRB needed. Most people are swayed by the presumption of normalcy, that everything has been fine, so it will be fine. And they are therefore sheep to the slaughter should someone in charge wish to slaughter.
And that's 50 out of 50. That's pretty high percentage.
There were little clots of people. People tend to coagulate or agglomerate in those situations. And so I had the chance to speak to a number of clots of people. And it was, to me, horrifying, and further cemented my position in their minds as a lunatic who happens to dance well and be pleasant. So this is what you will encounter, folks, when you speak to people. It doesn't mean they're right. It means they're deluded. And that's very important to keep in mind. Now, you mentioned antivirals, ganciclovir, Tamiflu. There are a whole bunch of things that are supposedly antiviral. The problem is that while this coronavirus has been carefully and elaborately and lengthily genetically engineered to have four strands of the HIV-1 organism, whether it causes HIV or not is not the point. The point is it's the organism from which it was taken, and one strand of SARS DNA. And coronaviruses do not assort themselves with the type of virus that the HIV virus is. Whether you believe that it's been genetically engineered to kill you or not, which I happen to believe it has been, its susceptibility to control mechanisms has not been, in my understanding, altered, which means that nano silver, 10 parts per million, I'm not talking about colloidal silver, I'm not talking about nano silver, 9 billion parts per million, because it's not a situation where more is better, 10 parts per million, controls the virus. Now, because of the Fraud and Death Administration, we are not permitted to say it kills the virus. Viruses are not alive, so that doesn't make sense. But it stops the virus. It's an antibiotic. It's an antiviral. We're not allowed to say those things because we sort of lost the First Amendment, but that's another discussion. So I'm saying it controls the virus, and the way it does that is two ways. One, it makes it, your immune system is supported to the point where you don't get the disease, or if you do, it's a minor event. But the second thing it does, and we know this from research on Ebola virus conducted by the Department of Threat Reduction of the United States Department of Defense with nanosilver, 10 parts per million, 25 and 50 parts per million, what it does is prevent the virus from attaching to the cell, step number one in viral pathology, pathogenesis, the creation of disease. It stops it from penetrating the cell, step number two in viral pathogenesis. and it stops it from replicating, capturing the DNA of your own cell, replicating, bursting the cell, and creating the symptoms. Now, the drugs, the pharmaceuticals that are brought out are, to my knowledge, not effective against coronaviruses. And in terms of its susceptibility to being controlled, it's still a coronavirus. Yes, it's an engineered coronavirus, but it is a coronavirus that responds the way other coronaviruses will. And Tamiflu and the other antivirals are not particularly effective. Now, that might not be a problem if this were not a serious and potentially lethal infection, which it is, but they're also very toxic.
Can I ask you one thing before you go further?
Certainly.
It might be good to remind people that the coronavirus group is big. There's a lot of coronaviruses.
There's a lot of coronaviruses.
Right. And some of them are not too big of a deal. You know, they find coronaviruses in cases of flu and colds and more ordinary things like that. And some of the people saying it's no big deal are saying, you know, it's like getting a cold or the flu.
Our president said it's just like a flu. And unfortunately, he's dreadfully wrong about that. It is not just like a flu. And coronavirus, look, we live in happy harmony with a gajillion different types of bacteria. And we've only recently, in the last few years, come to a generally widespread awareness that we need the bacteria in our body, that there are more bacteria in us than there are mammalian cells, that without the bacteria in our gut, on our skin, in our mouths, in our orifices and eyes and so on, without those bacteria, we're not going to survive. Well, it turns out that there are viruses in that same class. There are a gajillion viruses that we live with perfectly happily, and they tune our immune system up and they get it humming so that if they meet another virus that is not such a good friend, they can whack it. Now, the fact is, among that group of happy viral passengers in our bodies and on our bodies are a bunch of coronaviruses. There's nothing deadly about a coronavirus. There are lots of them. It's like saying, oh, shoes, that shoe could kill me. Well, yeah, I suppose if you ate it, but the shoe by itself won't kill you. Now, this particular coronavirus has been engineered to create vast disease potential, as was SARS, as was MERS, as was the avian flu virus, as was the swine flu virus. And eventually, I have been saying for years, eventually they'll get it right. Eventually they'll make a depopulation virus that does what they want it to do. The ones that I just mentioned didn't. But there's nothing inherently deadly about a coronavirus. But a coronavirus still responds like a coronavirus, even if it's had four strands of the HIV-1 and one strand of the SARS vaccine inserted into it. The HIV-1 strands are holdfasts. They help the virus grab onto the cell wall. And then the SARS strand, as I understand it, and I'm still getting up-to-date information on this, so this may not be completely accurate, my understanding is it helps it penetrate the cell. But the issue is, okay, it's a genetically engineered weaponized virus. United States participated in this. Canada participated in this. China's been working on it for about 5 years once they got it from, as I understand, Duke University with NIH funding. Okay, now what? Well, they passed it through bats, the intermediate horseshoe bat, 605 of them, in the Wuhan CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, allegedly. I think it's the Center for Disease Creation, like our own CDC. And from there, we got the bat story and the wet market nonsense. Now, whether this is designed to kill more of them or more of us is a matter of speculation, and you can see it both ways. But the fact is, it's designed to do damage. And the thing that will kill most people is not the virus, especially if they use the nano silver. And Richard, I don't know your protocol, whether I can tell people where they can get it or whether you tell people where they can get it, but it's vitally important to get it.
Yeah, you're welcome to tell people, sure.
Okay. Go to www.nsf, that stands for Natural Solutions Foundation, NSF Marketplace, and there it is. And it is vitally important. I personally am betting my life on the efficacy of the immune support of this nanosilver. I know I'm not going to get the coronavirus.
I want to interject a question before you get farther.
Yes.
You mentioned in that little paper that you happened to find from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, which was very educational, that you said something I didn't know, which was that they not only tested 10 parts per million, but 25 and 50 as well.
Yes.
Now, did those not work?
They did not work as well.
Okay.
The higher you get in the parts per million, the lower the efficacy. Now,
that's really
interesting.
And that's not necessarily true on external application, right?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, it depends how the silver is formulated. We had this discussion privately, and maybe you think it's interesting for your audience. I'll
sure.
be happy to
maximum education, whatever we can cram into the time we've got.
You can make colloidal silver on your kitchen table. You cannot make this nano silver on your kitchen table unless you live in a metallurgical lab and you've set up a kitchen table, because the nano silver is manufactured at high pressure, that's 10,000 pounds per square inch, and high voltage, that's 10,000 volts, over a period extending over several days. And what that does is form a number of different things. First of all, a sphere of four molecules of silver and four molecules of oxygen, Ag4O4. And that sphere has a static charge. The static charge disrupts the virus and the bacteria and the parasite, but leaves the healthy cells in your gut and the healthy cells of your body untouched. That's mechanism number one. Most nanosilver does not have that Ag4O4 sphere. That sphere is opened by an enzyme that's present in every body fluid called catalase. Once it opens up, then the four molecules of silver and the four molecules of oxygen float free. The molecules of oxygen get in the way of the replication and function of disease-causing things because they are oxygen haters. Healthy bacteria and healthy cells are oxygen lovers. So that's mechanism number two. Mechanism number three is that inside the sphere is the secret sauce, the 10 micron nanosilver particles. Then they float out and they do their disruptive magic, supporting your immune system and getting in the way of all these other functions. And then there's something else. Perhaps the dean of material science, who is now unfortunately deceased, Rustam Roy, spent 3 years figuring out how to get the molecules in the solution and the atoms in the solution to hold a frequency. And it's 910 terahertz, which is the same frequency that blue lamps in hospitals and food service areas emit to kill organisms that cause disease. It doesn't kill organisms that don't cause disease. So there are four mechanisms of action.
Terahertz is a really fast frequency, right? I mean, that sounds like it's above gigahertz. Is that right?
Yes. Terahertz is very, 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 very fast.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
fast. And so what we have is a four-fold mechanism of, and here I must defer to the illegal restrictions of the Fraud and Death Administration, a four-fold impact to create immune support. And it does, in fact, support your immune system. Normal function of your immune system is to keep you from getting a disease, and this helps very well. So the pharmaceutical drugs are toxic. For instance, Tamiflu, which was used widely in Japan during the swine flu non-pandemic nonsense thing that that was created, caused boys specifically under the age of 11 specifically to become suicidal and kill themselves in appalling numbers, jumping off buildings and so on. We don't know why it was gender related and age related, but it certainly is psychiatrically toxic. That's the Donald Rumsfeld Gilead drug. Other antivirals are problematic. If you want an antiviral, do what the Chinese are doing for patients on an experimental basis right now that I've been doing in my practice for virtually 50 years, and that is intravenous vitamin C. That's wonderful. But most people don't have access to that on an immediate basis, whereas they can have access to the nanosilver, which I'm not allowed to say is an antiviral. So I'm not saying it's an antiviral.
Let's make sure not to say that it is an antibacterial
nor an antiparasitic, even though the effect of it in dealing with malaria was presented to Congress and they said, don't want to know. Oh, the effect of this same nanosilver, 10 parts per million, mine, was presented also to Congress in official testimony, and they were told that it would control the SARS coronavirus, not because it was SARS, but because it was a coronavirus, and they proceeded to ignore that completely. So they don't want to know, but you do. And this is something that will kill most people, I believe, if they have silver available to them. It will kill most people or disrupt the lives of most people through the engineered social disruption, the disruption of the food chain, the disruption of the services of society, possibly electricity, possibly water. And if you are not making preparations for this intentionally engineered, highly probable, I believe, social disruption, then I think you have your head in the sand and you probably are having trouble breathing already without the coronavirus because you've got sand in your nostrils and mouth.
I got to ask you a question before you go further, and we'll remember nostrils and mouth, and then you can continue.
Yes, okay.
Right, so that you don't forget. Two particular antivirals people have been asking me about. I think you're allowed to talk about them.
Of course.
One is disulfiram, and the other is chloroquine phosphate.
Oh, chloroquine. Yes. If you'd like to have some serious side effects that can affect any organ in your body and tend to be pretty close to irreversible, chloroquine's your drug of choice, perhaps. Chloroquine is quite toxic. And the first one was disulfiram?
Disulfiram. F-I-R-A-M. Yeah. I read about it and it sounded fine except for the liver damage and death that followed that, but otherwise it's...
Well, it depends what your agenda is. If your agenda is to get rid of large parts of the population, it's great. You make a profit if you're a pharmaceutical company, and you kill people and you get to treat them making more profit while they die, or you give them a liver transplant, suppress their immune systems, and then they die, but you've been treating them very profitably, so it's really a good drug.
And it is approved, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Approved. That's now, let me say something about nutrients, if I may.
Okay.
The FDA has no legal authority to approve or disapprove nutrients. On every bottle of nutrients that you buy, it will say the FDA has not approved this and you cannot diagnose, treat, mitigate, cure, or prevent anything with it. That's true. The FDA has not approved it because the FDA does not have the legal authority to approve it. So it's like my saying, I have not given you a license to practice medicine, Richard. This man does not have a license to practice medicine. Well, that's true, but I don't have the authority to give him a license to practice medicine. So it's a highly deceptive fraud and death administration.
It makes it sound like an outlaw product, actually.
It makes it sound like, ooh, this is very questionable. They haven't approved it. Well, they can't approve it. So every nutrient that you choose to put into your body is unapproved by the FDA because they can't approve it. One of the nutrients that you might want to put into your body is N-acetylcysteine, NAC, is widely available. You want a high quality one. Do not buy cheap nutrients. They are made by genetically engineered bacteria. They have all kinds of excipients and fillers and crap in them. And just because it's on somebody's shelf doesn't mean that it's a good product.
You want a high quality. Most of those actually come from China, don't they?
Most of them actually come from China, where purity is so carefully monitored, especially for export products. Yay. But the point that I'm making is that the pathogenesis, the disease production process of this particular coronavirus is to attack the NAC receptors of the lungs. It happens that Chinese people genetically have as many as 90% fewer NAC receptors than European people genetically. So they are the first folks who kind of got smashed by this. But viruses have a tendency to reassort and to refine themselves and get either better at what they do, so we have more disease from them, or worse at what they do, so we have less disease and a pandemic will end. Consequently, it seems prudent to me to add NAC, one serving of NAC, let's say, on a prophylactic, preventive, protective basis to your daily regimen. It's not an expensive nutrient. It's a totally non-toxic one, and it'll help every cell in the body anyway.
You said there are receptors in the lungs to NAC.
Yes.
That sounds like it's like kind of like a natural thing that you're supposed to be getting all the time, or there wouldn't be receptors, right?
Precisely. It's something in food, in healthy food. It's not in unhealthy food. It's not in genetically damaged food. It's not in poisoned food. It's not in glyphosate-rich food in nearly the same concentration. But yes, you are supposed to get it.
Okay.
And in the because of the specific threat, and this organism has been modified to be especially communicable, then I think that it's prudent to take the silver on a prophylactic basis, one capful a day for an adult, half a capful for a kid. You want to drink the whole bottle, it's completely non-toxic, but it's a waste of money. I mean, I drink a whole bottle, but I drink it 96 capfuls and then the bottle's gone and I start on another one. And I literally trust my life to this. I travel around the world, I don't get sick. But the point that I was making is that NAC is a good thing to have in this time of trouble, because you don't know who's breathing what. And oh, by the way, I have a web page that we set up. There we have a news aggregation site at the Natural Solutions Foundation. It's called Open Source Truth. And Richard, you and Doug post your radio shows there, and that's wonderful. So Open Source Truth has a page called truthaboutcoronavirus.com. You can just go to truthaboutcoronavirus.com if you like, or you can go to Open Source Truth and see Richard's shows and other interesting articles. That's an aggregation site where the news is vetted. It is not a fake news site. It's a real news site. And we carefully make sure that it's the best information that we can find. And I want to bring up something else that's circulating in the information world that may or may not be true, but is certainly important, if I may.
Sure.
There are reports out of China that Wuhan was the test bed, was and is the test bed for 5G.
Now we know
that 5G is terribly damaging to biological systems. We also know that 5G changes the energetic structure of oxygen and makes it harder for you to absorb through your lungs. You don't have any other way of absorbing oxygen. You can't get it through your ears or your eyes or your skin or your armpits. You get it through your lungs. And if you don't get it, guess what? You don't do very well at all. And if you reduce the amount of oxygen available, every organ in your body suffers badly. Well, 5G also impacts negatively the ability of hemoglobin, the oxygen-carrying molecule in your blood cells, to pick up oxygen, transport it, and release it. So the entire body's oxygen supply, once the lungs have taken it in, is reduced by 5G. Now, 5G was already beaming everywhere in Wuhan when the virus was released. I believe was intentionally released, and a report from two scientists, two immunologists at the University of South China in Guangzhou makes it very clear how they believe that happened, and it's a very plausible story. But the fact is it was released, and you see people, you see videos of people, assuming that they are true videos and not staged videos, walking along and suddenly just falling over almost at attention and dying.
I was going to ask you about that. And so they don't even have time to break their fall with their arms.
They don't.
I've seen them go right into their face. And
right.
It's hard to have actors do that.
It's hard to have actors do that unless you have a gun off screen to their
head.
You have
to really pay them a lot to do that.
You have to pay them a lot or they're very scared.
Yeah.
And then after they fall, then the blood flows.
Right.
It's very interesting. That's not how people die. Usually, if somebody's dying, they'll try to crawl toward a building. They'll turn over and try to call for help. They'll struggle. There'll be some distortion of the body posture. These people just go kathup. And that's very unusual. The only thing that makes sense to me is a combination of infection. Yes, I believe that it is an infective virus. Infection plus the damage of the 5G. I think that makes sense. Can I say definitively that I have laboratory testing to confirm that in those people who have gone kathwap and died? No, I do not have that information. But rationally speaking, from what I know about 5G, hemoglobin, oxygen, pathophysiology, and viruses, that makes sense to me, and I consider it a reasonable hypothesis. There are devices that will protect you, at least in your home, against the impact of 5G. We could perhaps do a show specifically on that, or perhaps you have enough knowledge to just share that with your listeners.
Well, but if you're 5G, open to it, you need to come back for a few other continuations.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
You have to be very nice to me, Richard, to get me to come back.
Okay.
Richard and I are great friends, and we play with each other, of course, anytime you want, Richard. So the fact is that those people, that is not how you die from a flu. You die drowning in your own secretions, but you're not walking around in clothing outdoors and then suddenly keeling over. That's not a flu death.
You know, there are some people saying it's only 5G because it's a dry cough that pneumonia is not usually
connected to. Yes, there are some people saying that. I don't find that convincing. I don't know that that could be the case because I'm licensed in the state of New York, and unless something happens that I'm not expecting, I'll shortly be licensed in the state of Arizona as a physician, and I get what are, to my mind, largely utterly absurd alerts from the New York State Department of Health. I got one this morning that told me who in New York State would be eligible for COVID-19 testing, what patient would be eligible. And in every category, it's something that I'll mention and exposure to somebody who came back from China exposure in a healthcare situation of this and that sort, or this or that. But there are these ands. But the one thing that everyone who is to be tested or who is eligible to be tested for COVID-19 presence, and I'll talk about that in a moment, has, according to the New York State Department of Health, is fever. Fever and fever and fever and. So you're not eligible to be tested for COVID virus, according to the New York State Department of Health, unless you have a fever. I don't know how 5G creates a fever. I don't know that it doesn't, but of all the literature that I have read about what 5G does, and it's very scary literature, none of it suggests a fever. And there are a lot of ways to have a dry cough.
Also, you could have the virus and not be symptomatic, right?
Absolutely.
Shooting these thermometers at people who could be asymptomatic is missing the whole point.
And you can, as we published in on Open Source Truth yesterday, you can have the virus, have a disease, get well, and then get it again because you can continue to cycle through the disease process.
And the second time is worse.
I don't know that yet.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but I maybe it is, and maybe the third time it's not a charm. I don't know. I don't have the data on that, but I do know that auto infection is very much a process.
No more exposure is necessary to cause it.
No more exposure. You're exposing yourself, and so it breaks out. It's like Lyme disease in that way. Probably another engineered horror. So. The point that I'm making is if I want to protect myself, there are things that I will do. And one of them, the first in the line for me, and I'm putting my life on the line here, is to make sure that I am taking nanosilver, 10 parts per million, this particular nanosilver. I spent 16 years looking for the best nanosilver product on, or the best silver product on the planet. And I believe that I found it. It is remarkable. So silver, NAC as a supplement, because yes, you're supposed to get it in food, but you may not be getting enough to meet the needs of a potential disease situation. Vitamin C and vitamin D and iodine, liquid iodine. It is tremendously important.
Wasn't there an experiment with mice where they put a little bit under their nose and exposed them to viruses and they weren't affected? Did you hear about that one?
No, I did not. I did not. But if you have that reference and you send it to me, I would be very happy to have it.
Okay.
There are also experiments slightly to the side of this discussion in which people who are insulin-dependent diabetics were given an injection of insulin on their regular basis, but exposed to the smell of camphor for a period of time. And after a while, they merely had to be given the smell of camphor, and their body would produce the insulin that they were otherwise unable to produce.
Wow, that brings up a lot of interesting questions for investigation.
And we've done experiments with diabetes and frequency and insulin and so on. Whole different discussion. Oh, dear, I'm going to have to come back. But in terms of the coronavirus, it is a serious threat to, the older you are. I happen to be 76. And I know that statistically, if I get the coronavirus, I'm supposed to be dead. Getting rid of old people is an interesting depopulation strategy. They tend to be expensive in a westernized medical system, and they are perceived of as useless. If you remember, we were told, I believe under the Obama administration, that the best thing we could do for the country would be to die.
Well, didn't Kissinger talk about that too, the useless?
Well, Kissinger certainly did, but that was under Nixon. So, yeah. and since. So the point is that this is a very interesting virus in that it kills, the older you get, the higher the lethality becomes. It has yet to, we have yet to have a report of a child of 9 years or younger dying of the virus. That's very interesting. But we have reports that the older the person is, the more lethal it is. So that by the time you're 60 years old, the lethality is 14%, 14 out of every 100 people exposed and disease developing will die.
Now, that's statistically in the general population, meaning people that are not doing any of the things you're talking about.
This is among the general population. I firmly believe that nobody has to die from this virus, whatever their age. And it's because of these precautions, and antiviral drugs are not the way to go. By the way, I have a strong and perhaps invalidating bias here as a physician practicing. It'll be 50 years in May since I graduated from medical school. I have never written a prescription for a pharmaceutical agent. So I have a strong bias against them. I am, of course, licensed to kill, but I choose not to.
You haven't experienced all the great benefits then.
No, I have not. Nor do I have mugs and pens and clipboards in my office from agents that I consider to be toxic. I buy my own mugs and clipboards and pens and vacations. So I am an unwise and unusual physician, and I am trained as a psychiatrist. So that's a little even more unusual. But the point is, I do not believe that the antivirals are safe, and I know for sure that they're not effective. So now why would you take them? Oh, because your doctor told you to. Oh, right, of course. And your doctor, who is trained by the pharmaceutical hegemony. You really want to trust him or her when it comes to what you should put in your body. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm not even sure. There's so much that we've gone over right now, and as I expected, it went by in 10 seconds. So if we want to talk about, you know, from this segment that we'll consider one segment of a series, I hope, because I'm going to be really nice and you'll have to come back. What from this segment that's been so short, how can we give people a summary to carry with them and remember for the actionable parts not to be forgotten?
Okay, we have to add something else in.
All right.
Shortly. Despite the statement from the head of Health and Human Services, Czar, shortly we will find miraculously there's a vaccine that's going to save us all, and they'll be so happy because instead of taking the predicted year, it's only going to take 3 months, and now everybody should take the vaccine. Don't. Now, that's a whole different segment, but I'm sure you've spoken to people about the fact that vaccines are ineffective, dangerous, damaging to the immune system, and spread diseases. The epidemiology is extremely clear. So how can people protect themselves? First of all, if the monsters are successful, and they don't just live in the closet and under the bed. These are the real monsters. If they are successful, there will be social disruption. The food supply will be damaged, possibly electricity, possibly water. You must have a water filter that can take contaminated water and filter. Brita is not your friend. You need a ceramic water filter.
Gravity feed.
Yes, gravity feed. You must have available food that you can be well nourished with for a period of time that you determine. For me, everything I eat is organic. And so I have made sure that I am provided with what I believe is sufficient, and it's all organic. And yes, it's more expensive, but A, I'm worth it, and B, cancer is really expensive. And so, well, death is cheap, but those are not my agenda items. So you must have a sense of personal security, however that is achieved for you. And you must, in my view, have nanosilver, NAC, vitamin C, vitamin D, and iodine. I see these as the five essential immune supports. And if you don't have them, if you have four or three or two, the only one that you absolutely cannot skip, as far as I'm concerned, based on the science, is the nanosilver. Now, why would you skip any of them? You're too busy, you don't believe it, whatever, God bless you. It's your choice. But from my experience of 50 years of medicine and a lot of research and exploration, politically and medically and biochemically, of what's going on, these are my recommendations. And I think that they will assist those of us who are serious about surviving. Now, the possibility that I'm wrong is very, very hopeful. Dear God, let me be wrong.
Right, right, exactly. Okay, well, that's a lot to absorb. I recommend that everybody listen to this as often as they need to. The replays are going to be available free as long as it's still up. And if it's not, look at Brighteon.com and the audio on opensourcetruth.com as well.
And we'll post it. We'll post it on our YouTube channel, Natural Solutions.
Okay, good.
And you can also please, please, please sign up for the newsletter at opensourcetruth.com or Dr. Rima Truth Reports, D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. This is life-saving.
Yeah, exactly. And I suggest that you download this so that if you can't find it, you still have it. And if you're friends with the president, give it to him. And if you know people in government at any level, give it to them. And let's just try to spread the information in spite of the
social media. Put the links on social media.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we should do a special installment just for the president, share it with everybody, but it'll be directed to him and the things that he is wrong about and what he needs to learn and do. And we should do it soon, if you're open to that. I'll be as nice as necessary.
Try.
I will. I'll try really hard. I'll read a book about it tonight. So thank you,
thank
Dr. Rima.
Thank you for having me, Richard. I truly appreciate it.
It's always super inspiring and educational, and I always feel frustrated that we don't have another 10 hours to talk. So we just have to do it in pieces.
Indeed. Thank you.
We'll see you again soon. Okay, you guys. That should be a lot to digest, right? From Dr. Rima Labo, Dr. Rima TruthReports.com, and go to opensourcetruth.com too, and you can see a lot of our recordings there. It's a document, you know, a written article site, and audio recordings, which we send there from all of our shows and other things that we put out. You notice how many commercials we had during this show. Somebody, I hope a few of you will care enough to support us and keep us on the air. If we don't end up staying on some of the major platforms, then at least we'll be on Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. You should go there and sign up to subscribe to it right away. Doug has put up a new Subscribestar page. You can support us that way. Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio. Write that down, please. And then we have donate buttons on our two main sites, LostArtsRadio.com and LostArtsResearchInstitute.org. That's our nonprofit that is behind all of this stuff. And if we get the funding in time and the humanity, you know, the ruler, evil rulers don't blow up the world, then we want to build a school unlike anything else that exists on this planet, to my knowledge, right now. And I think that would be a good thing to do. So if you go to LostArtsResearchInstitute.org, look at the tab that says Eldamar, you can read about some things that are pretty far outside the box. If you want to actually start applying some of this and be in an environment where we can talk freely, interactively, and we meet there every week, check out planetaryhealingclub.com. We meet there live every week, half an hour after we finish this broadcast, and we'll keep doing that as long as we can. It's a source that's really valuable because we're not pulling punches or watching our, you know, what words are politically correct or anything like that. We'll talk about anything that you want to get into, and it's a really valuable resource for whatever time it's still up. So if you want to be part of that, that also supports us. There's small dues for it that go to the nonprofit that mean we're going to be here longer. And if we get enough members in there, we can build the school without looking for a big donor or anything. And I would love to have that happen because that's where I'll end up working, you know, all the hours of the day and night, if we can get that put together. And I work that many hours on this project now, but I'd like to have it transition to the physical stage, if that's possible, before things get too interesting for it to happen. Until and unless we get to that point, we'll keep sharing everything we get with you on this internet channel and all the others that we're on right now, which are many. If you want to be on our mailing list to stay in touch, even if we disappear on the channel that you're used to, just look at lostartsradio.com and you'll see a place there to sign up on the mailing list, and we will use that if you put your name and your email address in case we get cut off and there's no other way to communicate. Also, you can email your name and email address for that list to info@lostartsradio.com or text it to 928-325-4676. What else have I forgotten to mention to you? We have our Sunday shows that are educational, free shows every week. We've got an incredible guest on tomorrow that is connected to the Constitutional Sheriffs movement, and I think you really want to watch him. He's the founder of the Maine Association for that. He's been on our show 4 years ago or so, but because of what's about to happen and the medical martial law unfolding that our guest Celeste Solem detailed for you recently, and look at that archive if you get a chance, Celeste Solem, S-O-L-U-M. She was telling what's coming, you know, as far as special measures to shut things down. The sheriffs have the legal ability and actually the duty to protect you in every county against unconstitutional agents by any level of enforcement that is illegal, unconstitutional. So you need to meet your sheriff and come to tomorrow night's show on lostartsradio.com. That'll be 6 o'clock Pacific and 9 o'clock Eastern. And if you miss it, the recording's free as long as it's able to stay up. Any of these type of things, you know, download them, save them, share them, because we're shadow banned all over the place. That's one reason we're probably still allowed on the air, is because our view counters are compromised and our sharing is compromised. You can override that if you feel that it's worth it and take the time to share it with people and support us financially if you have the means. Not if you're struggling for survival, please, but if you've got the discretionary ability to do that, that'll keep us functional. Is this, we're just putting out everything we can right now, and we'll continue to do that. I think that's about it. And so go to Dr. Rima's site, and we're going to be filling in DrRimaTruthReports.com. We're going to be filling in a lot of next stage information that they should lead right into, and we'll do it as often as we can. So thanks for being with us. I really appreciate your time. I know you're really busy, and thanks for letting us be with you on these shows. It's all, you know, a favor on your part to let us participate. So thank you. Support us if you can. And any feedback, questions, topics you'd like covered, questions about planetaryhealingclub.com, just send them to me, richard@lostartsradio.com, and I'll read them all and respond as quickly as I can. Okay? Have a good week, and we'll look forward to seeing you here next time. Take care of yourself. It's the best way you can help other people. Keep yourself in good shape. We'll see you soon.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows, Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.